Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Let me invite you to turn over to John chapter 12. I'm going to just read one or three verses, actually. John chapter 12, starting in verse 24. But you might want to keep your Bible open there and read those passages, even as I'm stumbling around in this thing called preaching this morning. I'm sure the Word will give you a whole lot more than I could even think about doing. So John chapter 12, Jesus speaking, he says, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Father, we do thank you for the great and wonderful gift, unspeakable grace, and marvelous power. We ask you to be with us this morning as we come to this place at this time. Father, there are many things on our mind. Some of these things are desperate, and they press against us hard. Some, Lord, are lighter and airier, and they're praises. So, Father, as we're here this day on this time, you know every heart and every need here, and I pray that you'll work in every life. Be with us as we look at your holy word. Help it to penetrate our hearts. Help us to understand it, not just in a cursory way, but in the depth of love in which it was delivered. Lord, if decisions need to be made this morning, pray that we done so to honor Jesus. For it's in his holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Well, last Sunday we looked at that simply incredible verse over there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 15. Where it said that all manner of sick people lined the streets in hopes that Peter's shadow might fall on them and they might be healed. And they were, the scripture says. And we looked at that from the perspective that I suspect you don't hear many people preach about that verse very much, because it goes beyond our understanding. It goes way beyond our logic. We think, Well, I got to thinking about that even more, and I thought about Numbers chapter 22 and 21 through 39 that tells us the story of Balaam. Balaam was a hired prophet, and the Moabite king hired him that he might call down a curse upon Israel to demoralize them and utterly to destroy them. So as Balaam was heading from the Moabite king to go speak to Israel, an angel of the Lord came and blocked his way. Balaam's on his donkey, and he's trying to go down the road, and this angel of the Lord is blocking the way, and so the donkey goes to one side, and Balaam whacks him, and back up, and three times. This donkey sees what Balaam cannot see. And three times Balaam beats the donkey. And finally, and of course this is where the story gets quite interesting, doesn't it? The donkey speaks to Balaam. The jackass, the donkey, I better say that, because you'd think it was Balaam. The jackass speaks to Balaam, and he says, "Why are you hitting me?" Well, have you ever seen a talking donkey? No, I haven't either. I've seen some very stubborn jackasses, and they weren't all on the farm. But I haven't ever seen one speak. It's the same kind of phenomena. The shadow that heals, we don't know anything about that. Jesus can take spittle and clay and heal, and we're cool with that. He did something that we understand. You know, we can make a mud ball. I don't really think that you want to go out to Parkview with some sort of ailment and the doctor to come in and say, "Nurse, go out front, get some dirt, I'm going to spit on it, and I'm going to heal this guy." You wouldn't like that. But somehow or another that fits in our mind that Jesus is doing something that we understand a little bit. So really all the Bible does every time is defy our logic. I thought about trying to point out a few of those things this morning. And I thought, well, if I started in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he spoke, and it was. Well, there we are again. Right there in the beginning. We don't have to go to two verses. And it defies our logic. How did God do that? How can God just speak and everything come into existence? And so our mind just goes, woo, woo, woo. A funny thing, though, you know, several years ago, those who are supposed to be smart and have great intellects, and those who are scientifically minded people who look for the recurrence of empirical facts, they told us that the universe was created by a big bang. And all of a sudden we rush to embrace that. And the Bible says that God spoke and it was. I don't know about you, as I think about that, with my little pea brain. When I think about that, I think to myself, you know, the God who speaks is more logical to me than a bang out of nowhere. With no explanation one way or another. And so all God's acts are beyond our human understanding. Every time God moves, it's that way. We do not know what he's doing. We cannot understand it fully. It defies our logic. God just simply does these things. And he does them over and over and over again. And the Bible states in Psalms 115 verse 3, kind of an answer to our question. It says, our God is in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Well, let me break that down for you a little bit. Let me do some exegesis on this hard verse. Here's what the psalmist is saying. He says, God is God, and he does whatever he pleases, and he doesn't answer to you or anybody else. Whoa. You said, oh my, preacher's on a defiant streak this morning. No, I'm just trying. Isn't that what it's saying? Isn't that really, if you could come up with and you could refine and shake and do all those kind of things, isn't that the kind of God you'd want? You wouldn't want a God who was turned one way or turned the other, who didn't know where he was coming or going, who was going to take our advice. No, I think I'd rather have a God who does what he pleases. And has the power to do so. Job, in chapter 23, verse 13, it says, God stands alone. Who can oppose him? He does whatever he pleases. Somebody said, if something is said in the scripture one time is important, if it's two times, you better take note. Three times, well, you can look for that verse and find it, or those words in a verse and find them several times. Daniel exclaimed over in Daniel chapter 2, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Wisdom is not found at Harvard University. And power are his. We have thought of ourselves, especially after World War II, as being the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. Wisdom and power are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He sets up kings and he deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness and light dwells in him. I will say this, and it'll just go on let me just say, if you know anything about God whatsoever, it's because he revealed it to you. That's what this is, his revealed self to you. He wants you to know something about God's not hiding, it's just we're too in the dark to know who he is. We're just too devoid of wisdom to understand. The great apostle Paul reminds us over in Romans chapter 11, he says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. For he knows the mind. Who knows the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? God does what it pleases. When he does it, it pleases him. And we should say, amen. Praise the Lord. No man can oppose him. Shout for joy, all the earth, that God is in control and not we ourselves. Everything that God does is right. Hallelujah. His plan is being worked out to the infinite, most perfect degree. Praise be to the Lord God Almighty that his plan is being worked. Our God is God, and the God of the Bible is the only true God. Everything else is fodder and falsehood. Let the people of God sing his praises, for he alone is worthy. You know, I cannot explain all God's actions or lack of actions, because sometimes we think that God should act on our behalf, or we make a prayer request and we think that God should rush to answer that prayer. I cannot explain to you all that God does or all that God does not do. Again, Job says, perfect and upright, feared God and excused evil. That was what God's description of Job was. That's some pretty high praise. So he's a God-fearing man. He's upright and rejects evil. Yet he has lost all his family. Yet his personal property, all his possessions have been taken away. And his wife, in her worldly wisdom, tells Job, curse God and die. But by faith, Job accepts everything that has happened to him as being in the will of God, and God is working things out. He had no definite answer for these things, but in the final analysis, this is what Job thought. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Well, listen, this I do believe. Even though I do not understand everything, I should trust God in everything. Because he has a greater plan than I could even begin to conceive of. And you know, Jesus gives me kind of a clue in what's going on there in this life. We have suffering, don't we? We have pain. There is injustice all around us. Over in John chapter 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see, I believe we could all say that we want victory in our lives. We want our lives to count for something. We want a satisfaction in life, a fulfillment in life, a purposeness in life. And as we walk along, we want to be able to reach over and grab God's hand and know that he's right there with us and be confident and assured that everything that's going on, we're right there in the very center of God's will, and God is in control of everything, and God is good, and he's blessing us, and he's hand taking us. And we want that to happen. But here in John chapter 12, Jesus describes the way of victory, which defies all our notions and all our expectations. Because he says, truly, truly, I say to you, listen, except a corn of wheat, a grain of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it shall abide alone. But if it die, it shall bring forth much fruit. Here's the plan that we do not understand, nor do we like. Jesus came to die at the hands of evil men, But through that death, he dismantles the dominion of darkness. He triumphs over death, and he makes his enemies to be a footstool. I can say with full certainty this morning that that wouldn't be our plan. Remember some years ago when we were getting ready to go into Iraq, and we had the general who said something about a shock and awe. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to pound them into oblivion. We're going to take every moral fiber in their bodies from them, and then we're going to roll over them like a hot knife through butter. Is that what he said? Well, not exactly those words. But that's what he was talking about. That's the way we think about victory. Pound our enemies into the ground. Humiliate them. Destroy them utterly. Don't let them stand at all. Crush them. And you will be victorious. But Jesus said, no, the way of the cross leads home. And of course, in a real sense, what does take place through that way of suffering is that death is conquered. The enemy is crushed, and victory is his. We rightly celebrate that cross. We rightly celebrate that resurrection. But we so too quickly forget that that victory had to pass through the valley of death and suffering. And that goes against all our expectations. We think about Jesus coming, should be with and sitting on a golden throne. But he chose a cross. We think about the Lord Jesus being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He ought to have a crown, bejeweled with diamonds and sapphires and all those kind of things. Some of the kings of this earth, the crowns that they have are the wealth of nations. Yet he had a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was mocked in every way and ridiculed in every way. In actuality, we do understand God's plan because it's being worked out in our lives every day. I'll ask the question this evening in the PM service. Why did the tornado strike up there and not here? Can you answer that question? I don't think so. I think our weathermen sometimes. Boy, my wife got me up the other morning at 2:30 because her little alarm went off on her phone, and the weather guys were talking about, you know, a tornado watch. And when I got up and I walked downstairs and opened the front door and looked out in the front of the house, and it's still. It's not even raining. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, it passed through my mind, what on earth? I was sleeping soundly, and now I'm standing here looking out the door, and my wife is saying, the sirens are blaring. I opened the door. I couldn't hear any sirens. I don't see any rain. I don't see anything. But I stood there a little bit, not too long, and all of a sudden I saw lightning. When I was a kid, I used to, and I did that till I was about 24 years old. I used to call it Lightland. Did you ever see thunder in Lightland? It's kind of like whoosh and wash or something like that. Lightning was bouncing all over the place. What a light show was all of a sudden erupted right in front of me. And then, of course, boom, the storm door slammed up against me because the wind came, boosh, and behind the wind was the rain, and the lightning was going everywhere. And I turned around and told my wife, I said, get the kids up and bring them down to the washroom. Caleb, Grayson, Andrew, me, Matt, my wife, and the dog got in this little room with pillows and blankets and all those kind of things. And of course, you know as well as I know, it was this thunder, it was this lightning, it was just wind and rain here. And it passed right over very, very quickly. But the next day we heard about tornadoes in Illinois, people being killed. We heard about tornadoes in the southern part of the state. Have you ever been in a tornado? Have you ever seen the destruction? It's unbelievable. So why do tornadoes hit here and not here? Why does it seem like if there's a mobile home park within 100 miles, there they go. I don't know if there's any factual information about that. This is the way it seems like. I don't know. Why is it that your child took the polio vaccine and got polio? The doctors tell us it's just a really infinitesimally small percentage. My wife's brother, along with her and everybody in her class and everybody in that school, took the polio vaccine and he got polio. Why is that? Was it because he was particularly lax? Was it because he was particularly not gifted? Was it because he was particularly whatever? Why is that? You know, I think sometimes we're just rolling along. Matter of fact, not sometimes, most of the time. We don't have a direction. We're just being pushed in one direction or another. Sometimes we get a good job or something like that, and that job is offered to us or something like that, and we get that job, and we're happy and we're proud, and we think to ourselves, boy, it was a good thing I went to college and took them, and blah, 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 and all those kind of things. And then sometime later on, you find out that they hired another guy the same day they hired you, and he didn't go to college, he didn't have that, he didn't have that. And now he's your boss. Why is that? I can't tell you why, specifically. Not a golden throne, but a cross. Not a bejeweled crown, but a crown of thorns. Not an easy life, or a life at ease, but a life of suffering. Most of us, praise be to God, have been given so much materially that we don't even understand that we are part of a people so blessed in this country that the poorest among us is the richest in the world. And we still don't say thank you. Why is that? Why is that? I think every day of our life, God asks us to choose that way. To put Him first, serving others, and to do His will. And in that, go back and read verse 23, is Jesus glorified. And in that, we share in that glory if we walk that walk with Him. Father God, Your ways are beyond our finding out. The mysteries that You reveal to us are wonderful. The understanding that we receive by Your revelation opens our hearts and minds, so much so that we say, once we were blind, but now we see. That grace has overpowered me. And I've stopped. And I've turned. And I've reached out to Him reaching out to me. And my sins have been forgiven. And although this life is precious, it's like a vapor that's here today and gone tomorrow. And there's more to life than this life. Let us praise You and thank You for Your grace. Let us stand firm for Your principles in a world that screams and intimidates us and beats us and mocks us. But the truth always wins. And the truth of God is Christ. And we love You. Lord, as we begin to head into this time of Easter, many kinds of celebrations take place. But the one that matters most is for us to recognize You as Lord and Savior. To bend our hearts and minds to You. And say thank You. Use me, Lord. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.